May I speak in the name of God, the lover, the beloved, and the love sharer. Amen. Amen. We mark the Sundays from the Epiphany to Lent as the season of Epiphany. And on today, the second Sunday after the Epiphany, we pick up the theme of the call of discipleship. Over and over, we hear how Jesus met people who accepted his invitation to join him. And from a cursory reading, it appears that those whom Jesus met just dropped everything, left their lives and existing obligations to go off into new lives as his disciples. They literally followed him. Isaiah paints a movingly intimate picture of his sense of God's call in the Old Testament lesson for today. He announces, "Listen, you peoples, listen to me, you coastlands. Pay attention, you peoples from far away. The Lord called me before I was born. While I was still in my mother's womb, he named me." And Isaiah is describing God's call as an awakening in him of a realization of his life's purpose. His is a life-changing realization of encompassing spiritual intensity. Oh, that we could feel so intensely. And in the psalm, the psalmist captures the life-changing nature of God's call. He cries, "I waited patiently upon the Lord, and he stooped to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the desolate pit, and he put a new song in my mouth." Waiting and longing with patience. Who can bear such things? He then connects his call with his passion. He finds his song, and it's not the same old song of his frustrated life. It's a new song. And he cries out, for the new song in his mouth is a song of the praise of God that excites not just him, but everyone who hears him, encouraging them to listen for their own call from God. But it's the evangelist John in this morning's gospel who paints for us an amazing domino effect of God's call to follow Jesus. John the Baptist is testifying to his experience of baptizing Jesus, and seeing Jesus approach, he whispers to his disciples standing near, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." For John, this is the one that he's been talking about, the one who confirmed everything that he had been dreaming of. And John continues into an impassioned account of how Jesus came to him for baptism. And in this account, he is electrifying the nerve endings of his disciples, exposing in them a longing that perhaps they did not know they had. And the next day, the same thing happens. John and his disciples are standing once again, loitering with intent observing the goings-on along the lake shore as Jesus walks by. And two of his disciples break off, their hearts pumping, their ears deafened by the sound of the blood raging and surging through their ears. As if in a trance, they follow Jesus. And Jesus, aware of being followed, turns to them and looks at them. You may have to cast your minds back some years, but I wonder, have you ever had the experience of secretly admiring someone from a distance and getting caught out? Thinking you are unobserved, the object of your admiration spots you. Bam! You've been rumbled. You feel exposed, stripped bare, a feeling of shame as the red blush spreads across your cheeks. Making due allowance for the somewhat distanced language of the Revised Standard Version, we can detect that this is the kind of experience that John the Evangelist is painting for us. Seeing Jesus. A better rendition might be, Jesus turns and he spots them. And he asks, what are you looking for? Imagine the men stuttering and spluttering. Finally, their tongues untied. They get out a few words. Rabbi, where are you staying? I mean, what else is there to say in the heat of such an intoxicating moment? And Jesus simply says, come and see. And the dominoes keep falling. Andrew, one of the men who has spent the whole day with Jesus, as evening comes, rushes off to find his brother Simon. And finding him, out of breath, he exclaims, we found him. Yes, him. The one we've been waiting for. And Andrew, returning to Jesus with his skeptical brother in tow, brings Simon to Jesus. And what happens? Jesus, as if expecting Simon's arrival, gives him a new name. Remember my message two Sundays ago on the Feast of the Holy Name, New Year's Day, that names really matter. Well, here we go again. Simon is renamed Peter, which means rock. And there's an echo to Isaiah here. Peter is the name as if given to him by God while he was still in the womb, but unknown to him until the moment when it has been awakened by Jesus' call. Let me recall another image I'm sure we're all familiar with from those wonderful British World War II propaganda movies. A small group in Nazi-occupied Europe have secretly gathered around the radio, dangerously tuned to the BBC broadcast frequency, knowing the German radio detector van might not be far away. They wait, feeling a mixture of trepidation and expectation. Finally, the airwave crackles to life, and they hear the announcer's voice. This is London calling. This is the call that they had been waiting for. A voice that calls them to renew hope in the eventual fulfillment of their longing for liberation. Listen to me, you coastlands, pay attention, you people from far away. The Lord called me before I was born, while I was still in my mother's womb. He named me. I waited patiently upon the Lord. He stooped to me and heard my cry. And Jesus asked them, what are you looking for? Stuttering and spluttering before finally tongues untied, they get out the words, Rabbi, where are you staying? And Jesus says, come and see. This is London calling. The call sign for liberation. Now, we may not feel much like it, but we are those who probably, without knowing quite why, have amidst the cacophony of the noise of our busy lives, filled with our petty preoccupations, we are the ones who have responded to God's call to worship and got ourselves somehow to church. Ourselves, we've gathered enough to get ourselves together to get here on a bitterly cold Sunday morning. We are the ones who have woken early enough to tune in to the live stream of this service in real time. Or maybe we will be those who will remember later in the day or the week to click on the live stream link. The point I'm making is that we are present to worship God because we have, for some reason that may remain unclear to us, chosen to do so. And despite the competing pressures of many priorities in our lives, worship remains important to us. Although sadly, we are a dwindling constituency among those who nevertheless remain committed to this church community. Gathered for worship in New England in 2022. It's 2023, isn't it? Well, the same applies. Gathering for worship in 2023 is God's call to engage in an increasingly counter-cultural practice. So let's be encouraged by this suggestion that while keeping in mind the deeper question for those of us whose expression of faith is often muted by our too close alignment with prevailing culture and social trends. After all, we are Episcopalians. But God is calling. The message from the scriptures this morning is that we need to be listening. Unless we are hopeful, unless our expectation is tinged with enough patience to tolerate waiting, we may not hear God's call when it comes. Either because we stop listening, or because listening, we no longer believe or expect to hear anything. In the weekend, when we commemorate the call and life-changing mission of Dr. Martin Luther King, if this is not the time to question our receptivity to God's call, you see, it's one thing to listen, it's another thing to expect to hear something. If this weekend is not the time to question our receptivity to God's call, then when will be the opportune time? Amen.